Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
This morning, I want to talk to you about a message that I have entitled, A Thirst for Living Water. Do you have a thirst for living water? I hope that we all have that thirst. I want to start off, just jump right into Scripture. So we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 7, starting in verse 37. So if you want to turn to there, John 7, verse 37. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the English Standard Version. I think you got it on the screen there as well. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water will flow out of us. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Right now, I want us to pray and ask God that He will be with us. So bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Your word is powerful. Your word can change lives. Lord, I pray that you will help me over the next 10 or 15 minutes to talk about your word in a way that can make sense to us, a way that can help us to understand what it means to have a thirst for living water. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come into this place and will fill us, not just fill us completely, but fill us to overflowing, as you say in this verse. Lord, I turn it over to you. I pray that everything I say will be glorifying and uplifting to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this passage starts off where it says it was the last day of the feast, the great day. And I love Bible history, and I think Bible history is so important. So I want to take just a moment to talk about what that meant when it said it was the feast. Does anybody know what feast that was? Oh, I'm not teaching, so I can't ask questions, can I? But it was the Feast of Booths, or called Sukkot or Sukkot. I'm not Jewish, so I'm not exactly sure the correct way to pronounce it. But it was the Feast of Booths. It was one of the three most important festivals in the Jewish community after Passover and Pentecost. And it says here that this was the last day, or the great day, of the feast. And the reason why it was the great day of the feast is because on this last day, they've been celebrating for 7 days before about God delivering the people out of bondage in Egypt. And they are celebrating that God provided during those 40 years, but also God continued to provide for the Israel people. God continued to provide for what they needed. And then on the last day of the feast, they had what they called the water drawing ceremony. And the water drawing ceremony was a chance for the people of Israel to say, God, you've been faithful in the past, and I know you're going to continue to provide today. That's what they were doing. So what they would do is the priest would take a golden pitcher, kind of like this one, and they would go down to a place called the Pool of Siloam. And they would dip out water from that pool, and they would fill it into that golden pitcher, and then they would all go back to the temple. They didn't go back to the temple, though, just solemn and prayerful. They came back in an attitude of praise and celebration and excitement. This is one of the most exciting days of the feast because it was about God is about to pour out blessings upon them. And so they would be cheering and shouting and saying praises to God. And the priest would take this water into the temple, and they would have a silver bowl sitting on the altar. And as the priest would pour that water into the bowl, the people would praise and sing and shout out to God because God had provided for them. It was an extremely important moment in Jewish culture because that water being poured out was saying, God, we know that you're going to continue to pour out your blessings upon us. As that water was pouring, Jesus stood up and made a scene. Jesus liked to make a scene sometimes. He stood up, and as everybody's watching this happen, Jesus cries out and says, "If anyone thirsts, come to me." For thousands of years, the Jewish people thought that God would just pour out blessings and bless them for a time. But Jesus was saying that I'm here so that you don't have to thirst anymore. I'm here to pour out my spirit on you, and it will flow out of you. That's so important, that it's not anymore about going through ceremony and rituals and routines and dipping water out of certain ponds and pouring into certain bowls. Jesus is saying, this is for you. He is our completion. He is what we need in every moment. He is ready to pour that out onto us. And when he said that, it didn't get missed by the Jewish people. They understood the symbolism of what Jesus was saying. Because, you know, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were looking for that coming promise. And when Jesus said to come to him if you're thirsty, they took notice to what he was saying. They understood that there was something weird about this because it happened at a certain time. Jesus spoke certain words at certain times. This was the right time for this message. So today, I want us to understand what this verse means. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's no longer a priest pouring something into a bowl, but it's coming out of us. And today we're going to talk about how that living water can pour out of us. Jesus talked another place about living water just a couple of chapters before this in John chapter 4, where he's at the woman at the well. And he's telling her, if you thirst, come to me and I will give you living water. What is this living water? What is he talking about? Well, if we kept going, I don't think I gave them the scripture, but if we keep going after verse 37, that's up here on the screen, 39 says, now this he said about the Spirit who those who believed in him were to receive. This is the Spirit that we are to receive. That living water is the Spirit for us to receive. Are you willing and ready and excited to receive this living water? Now, this morning, you know, I kind of hate that. I don't get to preach that often. You know, you guys know that over here with the big people. But this morning, as I was getting ready, it's like God started twisting around what I was supposed to say this morning. So this next part, it's not in my notes, but I think God kind of spoke this to me this morning. Living water, this is saying that, and he says this in John as well, if you take that living water he has, you won't ever be thirsty again. It's not just something we get, we use it for a time, and then we go on without it. We will never be thirsty again. He wants to fill us so that it will continue to bubble up out of us. Now, most of you know, I lived in Central Florida for most of my adult life. One of my favoriteest things to do is go to the springs. Anybody ever been to Central Florida and go to one of the springs? They are the most beautiful thing that you will ever see, one of the most beautiful things. And there was a special place that I used to take my daughter, who happens to be here with me today. I'm so excited. My daughter is with me, so she's not in this room. She's with her mama. But we used to go to a place called Itchnatuckney Springs. It's right outside of Ocala. And it is crystal clear water. The water is so clear. It's about 25 to 30 feet deep, but you can look all the way down to the bottom and see fish swimming under, turtles, alligators. It's like swimming in an aquarium. It is the coolest place ever. And I love to go to the springs, float in the water. The water stays about 72 degrees year-round. It's the coolest thing ever. But what does that have to do with anything we're talking about this morning? Well, Itchnatuckney Springs is what's called a first magnitude spring. A first magnitude spring means that where it comes out of the ground, about 65 million gallons of water pours out of the ground into that spring every single day. 65 million gallons of water empties out of the earth and flows down through the Itchinatuckney Spring into the Santa Fe River, finally out into the Gulf. And 65 million gallons of water. And that's a lot of water, 65 million gallons a day. I don't know how much that is from the beginning of time, how much water has been coming out of there. But it was like God spoke to me and said, the amount of water that's flowing out of that cave into that spring is nothing compared to the living water that can flow out of you. It's nothing like the stream of living water that God wants to have coming out of us. 65 million gallons of water seems like a lot. But I think God is telling us that we have more power in his living water than those 65 million gallons of water. In the Itchinatuckney River, I can get my kayak there. I can sit there and keep it straight. And that will go all the way for like 6 miles, all the way out into the Santa Fe River. And I don't have to do anything. Because the force of that 65 million gallons of water pushes my boat along. The Holy Spirit, this living water that God wants to provide for us, is like that. That's what pushes us along through our Christian faith. That's what keeps us going. Some rivers, when you go kayaking, you have to paddle. You have to push the paddle in the water to make your boat go. But when you're in Itchinatuckney Spring, you don't have to do that. You just go with the flow. That's what living water is about for us in our Christian life. God is saying, I want to give you living water that will push you along, that will keep you going where you need to go, will make you successful where you need to be successful. It will keep you in the line with me. That's what he's talking about when he says living water is for us. The people at Sukkot, they knew that God pouring out that water was saying God provided. But Jesus is saying it's no longer just water that comes out of some spring somewhere. That's not what we need. It's now the living water of the Holy Spirit that can infill us and change us and make us different. And he tells us that it is a gift for us. So if it's a gift, that means it is yours, but you have to be willing to open it. Because if I give you something and you let it sit on your counter, you haven't received it. God wants you to open up the gift of the living water he has for you. Now, you may say, why? What is it going to benefit me to open up this gift of living water? Well, first of all, we need to understand this living water is symbolic for the Holy Spirit infilling us. And so what are the benefits of the Holy Spirit infilling us? Well, I think there's three things I want us to talk about today that benefits us with the Holy Spirit. The first thing that this living water will do for us is it gives us the ability to live a righteous and holy life. Living water leads to righteous living. When we have the Holy Spirit flowing out of us because it was put into us by God, our life is going to be filled with righteous living. Now, that doesn't mean that baptism in the Holy Spirit totally, boom, sanctifies you and you're perfect. But what it means is that this living water makes living for Jesus and doing what he's called us to do a whole lot easier. It helps us to start being able to love stronger, to hope better, to have greater peace, to be able to be hit in the face with the chaos of life and still stay in control of our emotions. It gives us the ability to say, I can't do this on my own, but I know, God, I can do it with you. The Holy Spirit, this living water, gives us righteous living in something called the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, you can have fruits of the Spirit before you're completely baptized. I believe that. But you know what? Once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can start having a bumper crop of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, happiness. I'm not going to keep going because I'll miss one of them. But all nine of those fruits of the Spirit will start to grow inside of us because that's what living water means. Why do we get this? Because God wants us to be like him. To kind of paraphrase what the Apostle Peter says, be holy as Jesus is holy. How are we going to be holy if we don't have the holiness inside of us coming out? So that living water of the Holy Spirit will allow those holy gifts of the Spirit to grow inside of us. A lot of times we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, which are great. We want those. But you know what? It starts with those fruits of the Spirit, a righteous life, living in a way that God's righteousness is coming out of everything that we do, because we can't do it on our own. Because I don't know about you, but I have to deal with some people that aren't too lovable. I have to deal with some people that aren't very grateful. I have to deal with some people that can't control themselves. And when I'm around those people, I want to start acting like them. Have you experienced that before? You're around somebody that's angry, so you become angry. You're around somebody who is out of control, you become out of control. The Holy Spirit, this living water, can help us to live a righteous life, because we can say, God, I don't love this person right now, but you can love them through me. And let that living water pour out of you, because that is the first reason. You know, we talk a lot about, especially in Pentecost, and it is important, we talk about speaking in tongues. But you know what? That's not what the Holy Spirit is all about. That's not what it's for. That's a part of it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But it is about the way we live our life every day. Because as Paul said, basically he said, you can speak in tongues in church and then go cuss somebody out in the street. Are you really anything different? What changes us is the fruit of the Spirit, is that righteousness that goes with inside of us. So first thing Holy Spirit living water gives us is the righteous living that we need. The second thing that we have to have with the Holy Spirit, we get with the Holy Spirit, the living water, is it leads us to be able to fight spiritual battles. It leads us into spiritual warfare. It leads us to be able to fight against Satan. Because you know what? Just because you are full of God's Spirit doesn't mean Satan leaves you alone. Actually, it's the opposite of that. The more you get on fire for Jesus, the more Satan is going to come and attack you. My old pastor used to say all the time, if the devil ain't chasing you, he's already got you. So we are going to be chased by the devil. We're going to have the devil trying to get a hold of us, but in 1 John, he tells us, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Who is that that's in us? That is the living water of the Holy Spirit. We can't fight Satan on our own, but through the Holy Spirit, we can. When the living water is inside of us, we can go into battle. And if we stay faithful to fight the good fight of faith, what happens? We're victorious. You may say, well, I got beat up by the devil. You know what? Sometimes you get beat up in war. You lose one part, but you win in the end when you stay faithful. But if you stop when things get tough, when you say, I'm not going to do this anymore, you're not going to move any further. The Holy Spirit, this living water, gives us victory in our spiritual battles. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God. And that's one of the things we love to talk about with kids. You put on the armor, you do all these things. And anyway, it's really fun with kids. But you know what? It's a powerful, powerful, powerful part of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you, you can't truly put on the armor of God if you don't have the living water inside of you. Because, you know, when you fill something up with water, it gives it strength. It makes it able to hold some of it. If I take a balloon and I fill it up with water, that balloon can put some pressure. It can hold that up. When we are filled with living water, we're then able to handle the weight of the armor of God. Because the armor of God can be heavy. It can be a challenge sometimes to put on that helmet of salvation every day. Put on that righteous breastplate. To put on all those pieces. So that living water gives us the strength on the inside. It's like that frame that holds us up. So we can put on that armor of God. And then Paul says at the end of all that, he says, and once you've put on all this stuff, pray in the Spirit. You're doing it in the Spirit of God. When you put on your armor of God and you're filled with the Spirit and you put down that shield and you go into battle, the devil doesn't know if it's Claire inside there or if it's Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus is inside of us. And so we put on that armor of God and we have that holy living water inside of us flowing out. we are going to be able to stand against everything that the enemy throws our way. God is with us if we allow him to be. He gives us the power to overcome the battles. Without the living water of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare is not going to work for you. You're going to lose the battle. Because if you don't have Jesus inside of you, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you don't have the living water inside of you, then you can't say what 1 John 4 says, greater is he who's in me than he's in the world. We have to allow him to fill us up. We have to allow him to not just fill us up, to fill us to overflowing, to fill us to the point where we can move forward with him. So, first benefit we talked about, Holy Spirit baptism and the living water gives us righteous living, gives us those fruits of the Spirit, makes us be able to live the way we should live to those that we come in contact with. It's the way we interact with our fellow Christians, with our people, our neighbor, our people that we see. The second thing it does, it gives us victory in our spiritual warfare. I wish that I could tell you, turn your life to Jesus and everything gets great and wonderful. And then get filled with the Holy Spirit and you're going to just sail into heaven. The truth of what the Bible says is it's going to be a battle. But we will win that battle when we are filled with the living water of the Holy Spirit. So allow that filling, that infilling to give you victory in those, that spiritual warfare. And then the next benefit that we get when we are filled with the living water, it leads us to... This is my favorite one. This is the part that this is what makes me excited. It leads us to want to live a life where we're witnessing to others. We're living a life where we want people to know how good our God is. We want people to know how great Jesus is in us. It gives us the desire to tell everybody about Jesus. It gives us the desire to witness to those that we come in contact with. Because that is probably the key reason that we have the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus told his disciples before he left, go and wait and I will give you power to be my witnesses wherever you go. And so when we have Holy Spirit living water with inside of us flowing out, it deepens our desire to witness. It causes us to start seeing people differently. It causes us to start wanting to say, you know what? I love God so much and I love people so much that I can't let them continue on the path that they're on. I love my neighbor too much to let them continue and end up in hell. We sang this morning, hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. You know what? Hell is not going to lose another one until we tell that other one what the other choice is. Hell's not going to get emptied out unless we are willing to let the living water of the Holy Spirit infiltrate every part of us so that we can walk out in faith what we've been called to do. Living water, Holy Spirit baptism should give you an unquenchable desire to tell everybody you see about Jesus. It should cause you to want to make sure that your friends know what makes you different than the world. It should make you want to tell your coworkers how their life can be better. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. It gives you courage. You may say, well, I'm a little scared. I don't like talking to people. Neither do I. I tell you, I hate standing up here in front of people, actually. I don't like getting in front of people. It's not something I want to do. But the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to be able to do it. It makes me, you know, when I was coming up here, you know, I was kind of been telling Maggie all morning, like, I can't do this. And she said to me, she said, you need to man up. You know? You know what the truth is, though? Truth is, that was funny. But you know what? I don't need to man up. I need to let the living water well up inside of me so that I can get up here and say, the Holy Spirit that is in me wants to be in you. The Holy Spirit that has given me this power is going to give this power to you. So, no, I don't want to necessarily be up here and do this. I don't want to go talk to somebody and tell them about Jesus. I don't want to on my own. But once I have the Holy Spirit, I get to. It's no longer something that I want to do or I have to do or I might do. I get to. We get to tell people about Jesus. We get to tell them that God has a plan for their life. We get to tell them that they don't have to continue in their depression. They don't have to continue in their suffering. They don't have to continue in whatever it is they're in. God can help them with it. Is he going to turn everything around all at one moment? Maybe he will, but sometimes he don't. But you know what? That living water, it's not like that priest who poured it out. Because if I keep pouring, this lid will fall off. If I keep pouring, eventually what's going to happen? This little cup or this little pitcher right here is going to eventually pour out and there's not going to be anything left in there. But guess what? The Holy Spirit inside of us keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. This runs out. That festival of Sukkot or whatever it is or whatever they called it, that water, that provision was good for 1 year and it was over. But the good news is we don't have that kind of relationship with God anymore. It's not, well, I'm going to get you through this year. I'm going to get you through this festival. I'm going to get you through this thing. God is saying that the Holy Spirit, the living water, the Holy Spirit is with you to get you through today, tomorrow, next week, and the rest, not just of your life, the rest of eternity. We will have the power for the rest of eternity. The Holy Spirit is not a gift that we have for a certain time, I don't think. It's something that we have moving forward forever and ever and ever. And it's not a little trickle of water. It's like that Itchinatuckney Springs I talked about, 65 million gallons of water pouring out every single day. Think about this. 65 million, I don't know what God measures Holy Spirit's in, but Holy Spiritisms every single day can flow out of you. You know what? We think back to that spring. In Florida, the springs are starting to dry up. Do you know why they're drying up? Not because there's not any water, but what they're starting to do is they're starting to fill them in. They're putting dirt and rocks and blocks and all kinds of things on top of it. And places that used to be springs are now theme parks and neighborhoods and highways because they filled in those springs with things that don't belong there. Sometimes we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We have that living water, and we at one time have flowed out of us as 65 million times a minute. But we've allowed other things to start clogging us up. We've allowed things like our own desires to get in the way. We've allowed things like our fear to get in the way. We've allowed things like, what will they think about me, to get in the way. We have to clean those things out. We have to be with, and we say, well, God can do that. Well, God's not going to, though. We put it in. God's not going to take it out unless we want it out. We have to be willing to say, God, I'm going to stop doing what I want to do, and I'm going to let that Spirit flow out of you. And you know what happens? They have opened up a few of those springs. Okay, they've closed them off, and they start opening them. You know what? They dig a few little spots out, and guess what happens? It's like an explosion. This water starts rushing back out when they move a few of those blocks, a few of those rocks. They crack it open, and a little opening happens, and then that water starts rushing back out. I think God wants to do that in this church with the Holy Spirit. If we will allow him a little crack into our life and say, God, I'm going to let you flow through me, and we give him just a little bit of space, it's been my experience that once the Holy Spirit starts moving, you can't stop it. It starts rushing out of you, and you can't do anything but go with the flow. When you let that start coming out of you, it will change this church. You look around and, you know, it's nice. We've got, you know, I don't know, 60, 70. How many people here? Steve, you probably know. How many people are here? 73 people here. Wow, that's great. Last year at this time, I think we probably had around 50, 40. I don't know. But think about 65 million Holy Spiritisms flowing out of all 73 of us. We would have the place full. This church isn't full. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Because I'm not letting him flow through me the way he needs to. If we had such a desire, now I know you don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but if you're a Christian, you're going to want to come to church. I mean, that's just the way it works. You know, I love hamburgers, so I go to McDonald's, okay? So that's just the way it works. So if we would start letting the Holy Spirit flow through us, and we start letting those fruits of the Spirit grow inside of us, and we start saying, I'm going to be love and compassion and kindness and forgiveness and all those things that holy living, righteous living brings, people are going to say, you know what? Linda and Jonathan seem different. Something's different with that family. Now, I knew them before, and now I see them now. And they're going to say, you know, I think I might want to find out what that's like. Because they're not going to come just because you say, will you come to church with us? We have an awesome pastor, and he would love to come. And no, they're going to come because they see us living different. They're going to see a love that we have. They're going to see those fruits. That's the reason, I believe, that we get the fruits of the Spirit. Not to make us feel good or to be happy, but because it draws other people to those things. Because happiness and kindness and love draw people. Okay? If you go into a room and there's one side of the room where everybody's laughing and having a good time, and the other side of the room are people just sitting there, which side do you want to be drawn to? You're going to be drawn to that side that has that energy. That's what the Holy Spirit does with it. He gives us this righteous living so that we can start to show that there can be some differences. Because you may not know this, but a lot of people that don't go to church think that people who go to church are hateful and rude and inconsiderate and feel better than everybody else and have all these. Now, that's not true, but sometimes our actions in the community give them a reason to think that. We have to make sure that the fruits of the Spirit are not just flowing in here. You know, Pastor Aaron tells us, every one of those people who get together and pray, that go and show the love of Jesus to the people that come in this door. And we need to do that. But we need to take it to the next step as well and show that love to the people in our neighborhoods. Because most people come into Winn-Dixie and they get all angry at those lovely cashiers that are trying to help them. And those cashiers have a choice. They can treat them with love and respect and kindness when they don't deserve it, or they can put that anger back to them. I think the Holy Spirit is saying, show love back to those people. We're told to love our enemies. We love them. We're going to show them. We're going to let those fruits of the Spirit flow out of us. The second thing we got to have, I'm just kind of recapping this, not to belabor this, but we've got to know that when you start inviting people to church, you start sharing your faith, you start letting people know that God loves them, you start letting them know that Jesus cares about them, you start letting them know that your life can be better, Satan is going to attack. He is going to attack you like he has never attacked you before. And he is going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you, this is what he says to every one of us, and we believe this. He says, what do you think you're doing? This is not for you to do. You can't do this. You're not good enough to do this. Will you stop? You're just giving a bad example. We hear this negative talk, and we think, okay, I'm not going to do it. But when we hear that negative talk, remember, it's coming from Satan. God is never going to tell you anything negative. God's not going to tell you can't do it, you're not good enough. Sometimes Satan will even say, Jesus can't use you. Well, if he says it, you know it's a lie. And you can use that living water to fight that spiritual battle. So you can go and say, you know what? I am fighting against the devil. I'm not fighting against the people that's in the neighborhood that are making me angry. I'm going to show them love. I'm going to fight where the fight's supposed to be. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith against the principalities and the darkness and the evil of this world, not fighting against the people that we're supposed to be winning for Jesus. We're letting them see that fruit. And when we do that, we will have such a deeper desire to witness. We can't help but let everybody know Jesus changed my life and he wants to change yours. Jesus came into my life and gave me something that I don't even know what it is completely. But there are 65 million parts of this wanting to get out of me and tell you how great Jesus is. That's what you have to be. You have to, can't help but tell them. Can you put that verse back up there, our anchor verse back up there for me one more time? It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now, it was loud. It was celebration. There were people dancing. This is like going to a rave. Now, some of you probably are too old to know what a rave is, okay? But it's a loud, exciting party. And Jesus didn't say, if anyone thirsts. He said, if anyone thirsts. He went above the crowd, above the noise, and says, if you thirst, come to me. If you want what I have, come to me. That is what Jesus was saying then. That is what Jesus is saying today. It wasn't just for those Jewish followers that were in the temple that day. It was for each and every one of us. Are you thirsty? Jay, you can come on up. Are you thirsty? I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I thirsty? Thirsty for what? Thirsty for a righteous life. Do I thirst for love, joy, peace, self-control, patience, those other things that I can't remember right now? Are we thirsty for a righteous living? Are we thirsty to be able to people look at us and say, hey, Elizabeth's different than everybody else in our neighborhood. Are we thirsty for being an example where we can people say, what's different about that person? If you are thirsty, I want you right now start kind of preparing your heart because God wants to fill us. God wants to fill us to overflowing.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.